I'm Anna.
And I'm Jillian.
And this
is the Hat Picks Podcast.
Just two dope ladies talking about soccer from across the country on the podcast no one asked for.
And honestly,
I also don't edit the podcast anymore. No. So whatever this is,
we're just gonna let it roll.
Yeah. We are. I do like in pod sound effects. That's it.
It's just gotten to be, you're going to get what you're going to get. And we hope you like it.
And we're going to have fun doing it.
That's right.
So welcome to the pod.
Or welcome back, because we do have people who listen to us.
Oh my gosh, we do. Shout out Sam Bondurant, because I know that you definitely listen to this. One of Anthony's friends was, we joke self-deprecatingly that nobody listens to the podcast, which is just, yeah. It's just for fun. But one of Anthony's really good friends listens to like every episode. And he's like, I actually listen to the podcast. And I was like, you're a real one. A1 since day one.
Sweet. Well, Anthony, he needs to come back. He was an A+ guest.
I really enjoyed his like deep dive.
He's a treasure.
Yeah.
I don't say that I about agree. Many men. He's a treasure.
Right.
I too agree. So yes. Does the law.
I know.
As you can tell, we have a third voice with us.
Right? Hello.
Yes. Well, a big welcome back to at M Woods Casual.
I love it here. Thank you for having me back. I love talking soccer with you guys.
It's so great. We have, since M joined us a year ago.
Yikes.
Wow. What?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
We have, Anna and I and M have been crushing a women's sports text thread, just texting all the time about various women's sports, mostly soccer.
Mostly women's soccer.
Women's basketball did make a big appearance this March. But it's been really fun. Somebody actually sent me one of your TikToks, and I was like, I know her.
No.
We met in person.
That's awesome.
So that's great. I was like, yeah, I do know a celebrity. Thank you.
Oh man, no. I get on the internet and I make a fool out of myself regularly. That's what
we love you for it. It's amazing.
Yeah, we appreciate the content.
So it has been so many months since we have potted. One thing that has changed since we last potted together is that Anna and I are in the same room.
Yes.
And not just because Anna's in town for a wedding, because Anna's in town indefinitely.
Sure am.
Forever. Forever?
Love. I mean,
question mark?
Yeah.
For a while.
Yeah.
But for now, we get to do the pod in person. So very, very exciting shit right here.
We were saying that we are no longer two dope ladies across the country. We are two dope ladies probably in the same room sitting across the table from each other at any given moment.
Yep. That's it. But that doesn't sound as cool in an intro, so.
I don't know. It could be pretty good.
Can we get some sick guitar in the band?
It's been pretty wordy.
Just like
I like
that.
It.
Okay.
Yes. I like
thank,
it.
Thank you for your support of that not very good intro. So today, we will be summing up for you the FIFA Women's World Cup, which took place over the last month in Australia and New Zealand. Did we say that we were going to go to Australia and New Zealand? Yes. Did we? No. Did we then say we would do a group stage pod and then a knockout pod? Did we do that? No. Are we going to do one big ass pod about the whole fucking thing? You're goddamn right we are.
Yeah. You know, just traveling is a lot. We moved, you bought a house. It's just like a lot.
A lot of things happened.
Going to Australia and New Zealand was just too much. And then after all the moving, doing multiple waking up for occasional 5 a.m. games, doing multiple podcasts was too much. But we weren't going to do all that. Plus, we have jobs. No.
Yeah. Yeah. But we thought, who better to bring back to the pod than M? Because we have been spitting opinions back and forth for the last month about this World Cup. So many thoughts, so many feelings, good moments, great moments, very, very sad, enraging moments. If there was an emotion, we probably felt it. Or I felt it, Anna watched me feel it. But yes,
so that is the dynamic of this friendship.
I'm so jealous. I'm so jealous that you guys get to watch things together, because it was trying to get somebody who doesn't like women's sports, or doesn't not like it, but like trying to talk to my husband about stuff. He's like, it's like talking to a wall. I should just not. And, you know, like I was watching the Chicago Red Stars game and they got walloped by the Orlando Pride.
Yes, they did.
Like 5-0 or something. And after the first one, he was sitting there that Alyssa Nair had missed. You know, she failed to save. But it was a, it was an amazing shot. He goes, oh, Bella Bigsby would never. She would never. And I was like, what?
Where are the divorce papers? Like, what? How dare you?
What did you say to me? Like, I like Bella Bigsby, but don't say that about Alyssa Nair. So at least be thankful for Anthony.
Yes, that's true. That's true.
But at least he has an opinion. He had an opinion about...
He knew who Bella Bigsby was.
Oh, he loves Bella Bigsby and Sophia Smith. He's a Thorns guy.
Well, but I think, though, now that we do all live in the Midwest region, we are hoping to maybe meet in Indianapolis at some point for a women's basketball game. So even though it won't be soccer, hopefully we will get to watch sports together, maybe Chicago at some point for soccer. I don't know, but it seems like watching
places nearby
sports in person together is more of a reality now.
Yes.
That Anna does not live in the armpit of America.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. I don't even, that is, you're baking out there.
Yeah, no, it's not enjoyable. That's for sure. Mm-mm. Mm-mm. Today, I was on a call with some of my coworkers and they're like, you look a little tanner. Do you go outside in St. Louis? And I'm like, yeah, because it's not an oven outside. You can go outside occasionally.
Barring this week. This week is...
It was roasty. It was roasty in Ohio.
It's humid.
Is it humid?
Oh my God.
I'm assuming.
Oh, so humid. So humid. Got that Mississippi River just like right there.
Providing all the vapors.
All. Every single one of them.
And all the toxins. Yes. That thing is nasty. Yeah.
Okay. To be respectful of time for you listeners... plural, and also because M has like a whole family and a thing, and Dan and I just dick around too much when we do this, so let's gather. We will be doing, each of us, a hat trick of picks for you to keep in the theme. We don't have to keep in the theme, but we do. So we're going to be talking about something from the group stage, something from the knockout stage, something from the World Cup final. We'll be dropping in some negative things with our drops. And then we're going to shoot the shit for a few minutes. Just talk about things because so much happened from July 21st to this past Sunday.
July 21st?
20th maybe? I don't remember.
It's back in the day.
It was like a whole ass month.
Yeah, it's a long time.
So, Em, as our guest, yeah. Mm-hmm. Can we kick it over to you for the first group stage pick?
Okay, I wrote 5 picks. When going back through this, I realized that the group stage is my favorite stage. Just like, that. Yes. So I'm just going to start with one.
Okay.
Okay. This is a slash. So New Zealand winning in their opening match at home. / Allie Riley's nails while she won at home.
Yes.
Hell yes. I love that. Yes. Because she had like trans flag colors on one hand.
She had the trans flag and then the pride. Yeah.
So good. So good.
I was also on board with New Zealand winning because not only were they co-hosts, so that kind of makes it just like all the sweeter because all of their fans are there watching them. Mm-hmm. But also it's their first World Cup win ever. Allie Riley was talking about how important this World Cup was for her because this is her 4th World Cup. Wow. And they've never won a game in the World Cup ever. She was talking about it on the recap show, which was incredible. Highly recommend.
10 out of 10.
And just like how important it was for her being in her 4th World Cup, doing it for the players that came before her that had never won. And also doing it for all like the kids in the stands that can see themselves doing this now, because to make it to the New Zealand national team, it's like making it to the Icelandic national team. like statistically, you are quite likely to make it on that team if you play the sport at all, simply because of the amount of people that are citizens of the country. So like there's a lot of inspiration that goes behind that. And they also played the shit out of that game. They played so well. Yeah. It was the best we've ever seen New Zealand play. We play them all the time because, you know, we like an easy win in the US. And they did so well. It was so impressive.
Yeah, I totally agree. But I am their uniforms are so sleek. So I am going to squash that a little bit though with my group stage pick, which was not totally, but like I'm talking about the Philippines coming out swinging and winning their first match ever in a World Cup, also in their first World Cup, scoring the first goal, etc. They like obviously did not advance past the group stage. Mm-hmm. But I think that they had a really great first World Cup. They ended up scoring their only goal against New Zealand, Serena Bolden. And then they won 1-0. And I just feel like they showed so much fight in all of their matches. And, you know, the team is mostly Americans, but they like really pieced it together, I think, from like with people from across the world. And I think they did the Philippines proud. Plus, Anthony's parents are from the Philippines. And so it was really fun to watch them play with him. That was like very special. And I was like looking into buying him one of their official like Adidas kits from the tournament. And they were like sold out online in the Philippines, except for an extra small. And I'm not a baby. So, but it was like, it was just really cool to see, you know, the debutantes.
So many of them World Cup.
So many debutantes. Yeah.
I like I'm pretty sure they were the team that had the malls. Like, they were showing the games in the malls in the Philippines.
Yes, yes.
The watch parties. And I was like, that's amazing. Like, and then I saw a video today of when they arrived in New Zealand or Australia, the Filipino community was at the airport and they were, like, singing a welcome song.
Oh.
I know. My little heart was just melting. Okay.
There are so many moments like that. I mean,
I know.
They're just so fucking heartfelt. Yes.
I mean, yeah. I mean, there was a lot of debutantes at this World Cup. I was just like looking at the list and trying to remember. So we have Philippines, Vietnam, Morocco, right?
Mm-hmm.
Zambia, mm-hmm. Haiti, Panama. Is that it? I think that's the list of them. And for the most part, they all did very well.
Yeah.
Like, it's very easy to come into a World Cup and get walloped like Thailand did last World Cup. But they all were competitive, which you love to see. Zambia, Barbara Banda can do no wrong, in my personal opinion. I love her, and I love to see her this tournament, albeit not as long as we would have loved. But she crushed it. Who else? I was really excited to see Panama not completely... like, eat shit.
My God, they scored 3 goals against France.
Was that 6-3? Was it 6-3?
Yeah.
That's a high-scoring game.
Yeah, it is.
Especially, France is a, like, world power in women's soccer. And for Panama to hold their own, I mean, obviously they lost. But, like, that to score 3 goals against them is nothing to, like...
Including one that came in, like, the second minute of that match. It was like, it was wild.
I mean, yeah.
I also like, so I don't, I think maybe the 20, not this past World Cup, but the World Cup before for the men, Panama was the country that kicked America out of not being in that World Cup for the men. And so I like seeing Panama excel because I love that the men did not make it to that World Cup because it was like, they walked into that. I remember watching that game in a wine shop in New York City. I was watching it with a schmuck who thought that I didn't know anything. The guy who ran the shop thought I didn't know anything about soccer. He pointed to a poster on the wall of Thierry Henry and he's like, who's that? What team did he play for? I was like, I will crush you. Shut up. And I did. I
was going to say, did you? Because I would, yeah.
I gave him a lot of information.
I would love that.
I gave him a lot of information about Thierry Henry because Thierry Henry was a star for Arsenal, which is my team. So I was like, if you think for one moment that I'm not going to have information about this, sir, you don't know me at all. But then Panama beat the US and everybody thought that was going to be a gimme, and it wasn't. They crushed us. And so I really just like seeing it full circle, watching Panama succeed here as well, because we haven't seen them in the Women's World Cup. So it was just like a really nice kind of almost full circle.
Absolutely. So, Em, why was the group stage your favorite stage?
Because a lot of these teams did so well. Like, I didn't feel like it was, nobody was getting shellacked, you know, for the most part. There were really tight games. Like, I have, like, Haiti holding down England 1-0 in a penalty kick. Like, nobody had that on their bingo card.
Absolutely not.
And then the Sweden-South Africa game. I love South. I'm so excited. I'm going to Cincinnati in South Africa. Play the U.S. Women's National Team. I'm so excited to see them.
That's incredible.
Yeah. Like, it was just a, like, even Ireland, I have, like, the Katie McCabe Olympico.
Oh, yes.
Just good moments like that. Like, even if they don't make it on, they still played and showed up. And I feel like they can take that back to their countries. And that's kind of like a signal to invest more. Like, that's dollar signs.
Yes. They did take it back to their country. So Ireland recently had a friendly. And the original 1973 Irish women's national team gave them the whatever of arms, where like the team stand on either side, which is what Spain did for England. Spoiler, Spain won. when England went up to get their silver medals, the 1973 team welcomed them back to that when they were having that friendly in Ireland. So it's like, it's already happening. We're seeing teams go home and people being jazzed about their performances, regardless of how far they made it. They're already excited to have seen these teams do what they did this World Cup.
Fuck yeah. It's so great. So many, so many good moments. Again, with the feelings, the emotions.
It was exciting.
Okay. Knockout stages. Who wants to go first?
I don't remember what I wrote down.
It's me. I'll go. Okay. So this was later in the knock. I mean, lots of great soccer played. Also, spoiler, the U.S. Women's National Team made it one game into the knockout stages. So the vast majority of the knockouts that we had the pleasure of watching did not involve the U.S. Women's National Team, which in a way is heartbreaking. And another way is very cool that we got to see so many cool, like, great moments from these other teams. Mm-hmm. Mine is perhaps a little cliche, but it is Sam Kerr's goal against England in the semifinal. So in case you were not aware, Australia had a historic fucking run in this World Cup, made it farther than they ever had, came in fourth place. But Sam Kerr was in less of this than I think we all expected. Speaking of bingo cards, I didn't think that we had Australia advancing without Sam Kerr ever having played in the group stage on the bingo card. But
what was it? What was their injury?
It was a calf injury, I think.
Calf. It was okay. Yeah.
But I think she really made her presence known in that semifinal match against England. And, like, this was one long motherfucker of a goal. Like, so far outside of the 18. Like, she said, "Not today, Millie Bright, my fellow Chelsea teammate. Not fucking today." And just chipped that, right? I mean, it was a powerful shot. Chip is not even
the correct word. I was going to say, it was like a power chip.
Power chip. Yeah. It, like, soars over Mary Earps, who was off the line. It was just gorgeous. I loved it. It was so good.
Yeah, that was a good moment. I woke up for that game. I woke up, watched the game, took a nap, then started work.
As you should.
I was not going to be staying up. But I remember watching that, and I think I yelped out loud and then realized that half of my house was still asleep and I had to shut up. Yelp. It was just
they
so
should
good.
Have been, like, used to it. Like, if they hear noises in the middle of the night, they'd be like, "Oh, it's just Anna watching soccer. We're cool."
Not gonna edit that out.
Nope. That's just a coaster.
Sound effect.
This is the ASMR podcast now.
That's right.
Okay. Anna, what about you?
My knockout stage pick is Australia's win over France. Nobody likes a PK shootout. Nobody. Mm-mm. They're stressful. There's a terrible way to win and lose because when you win, it's like you didn't win the actual game part of it. Like, you had to, you couldn't win the game part of it, so you had to win past it. Granted, a win is still a win. But losing that way is also so hard because you didn't lose the game.
Yeah.
They did not score on you enough times for you to have lost. They scored on you in a very particular circumstance. So that sucks for France. That's very hard. Yikes. But Australia came into that game and said, we have a country on our shoulders and they are going to carry us through this. And then Mackenzie Arnold, the actual brick wall that is Mackenzie Arnold, said, no, this is not how we're leaving this game. This is not how we're going out. I'm not going to let us do this. And they did it. And the whole game was so good, so competitive, so physical. And then that penalty shootout, the longest one ever.
Yeah. It just kept going.
It just kept going. And every time, like, watching the, like, fans that are in, like, Melbourne watching on, like, the big screen, every time, like, there's so many videos of them, like, being so excited when they scored, so, like, holding their breaths when they missed or when Mackenzie Arnold would save. And it's just, like the whole thing, not just the actual win of the game, but it felt like the win of the country. Like, they all were, like, behind it. And it was just so cool to see the hosts have that.
Like, the video of the people, like, on the plane.
Yeah.
Like, watching it all happen and then them, like, cheering.
And the one guy watching Lord of the Rings.
You got one schmuck. Like, pick your head up, look around. Frodo can wait. Like, turn the game on.
This came out in, like, 2001. Like, you're good.
Right?
You can watch it later.
Get it on Blu-ray. Come on, man.
That is my knockout stage pick.
And also, like, shout out to Mackenzie Arnold for, like, being willing to, like, talk openly about her, like, hearing loss and like bringing attention to like the deaf and hearing loss community, like shout out.
And especially after she had experienced so much shame. Did that start sounding different to you, or is it just my head?
It did start sounding different.
Well, whatever. Figure that out later.
It sounds the same to me on this end.
Can you hear us?
Yeah, it didn't change at all. There's like no blip.
Okay.
She's quiet now.
Yeah. This is like a, this is fun for everybody. Hey.
It's the magic, like, of production.
Yeah.
It's back.
Very old headphone splitter that I got at the airport one time.
Yeah, it's fine. But she spoke about having shame for a long time about her hearing loss.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's also a really important part of that conversation is like, she didn't just, like, letting other people know that it's okay to, like, get there. Like, whatever that journey is to get to, you know, mm-hmm. accepting that you might need hearing aids or whatever else it might be. Like, she was like, it took me a while, but I'm here now. And that's exciting. But also sharing that part of the story, which lets other people know that they can, like, their experience that in that kind of same, mm-hmm. having shame for that, like, getting there is also valid because it's a whole journey, which was, the whole story was very cool.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Alright, knockout.
Yes. I liked the Le Sommer brace. Just because I loved when she played for O.L. Rain. Like, mm-hmm. she's just a beautiful football player. And she was one that was left off the team in protest, correct? I think she was part of the group with Renard and someone else. Yeah, just to see her come back and when, you know, to have a brace at the World Cup. And then I have Australia-France, that game. I thought that was a game.
It was a game. It also reminded me of the Canada-Nigeria game. Like, they were going to fight to the death. Like, they were not leaving anything out there on the field.
Yeah.
They were going to fight to the death. And it both in just like the game of football, but also like physically, they were not letting anything go. They were going to yank you to the ground. They were going to do whatever they had to do to win that game. And I mean, in the knockout stage, obviously Australia did it, but it was like, there were a couple games that way.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Which I love.
We love. Incredible. Incredible.
I did notice that. I mean, I don't know. What do you guys think about, I feel like the officiating was like more reserved, maybe. Like, I didn't see as many calls as I would have expected.
In that particular match or overall?
No, I mean, like, across the spectrum. I think there's one call where I was, like, it's one of my drops, actually. But I just feel like it was more reserved, where maybe NWSL referees are a little bit more trigger-happy with
I kind of agree. Like, at least, you know, thinking back, there was a particular ref who I think she actually refed the Netherlands USA and the Netherlands Spain, who was particularly, I don't know.
She let a lot of things slide.
Especially for the Netherlands. Mm-hmm. But I did notice that things got to be incredibly physical.
Yes.
In a lot of, you know, and there was no...
I mean, even all the way to the end, like the final, they let a lot of things go. But even the third place match, Caitlin Ford left with a black eye.
Oh my God. That
I saw that picture. Oh, it was bad.
Yeah, you
could see it happening. Like, it was...
There's just, I think that there's something to be said for the way that the men's game is refereed versus the way that the women's game is refereed. And I think that refs might have gotten a lot of flack for not letting these women go for it. And I think that refs said, we're going to let them do it, because there's not as many of those calls in the men's game when there isn't a flop or like an overt foul.
I was going to say, yeah.
And so women don't flop as much. I mean, obviously some players do, and that's fine. It's the style of play, whatever. But like, we don't have a Neymar in the women's game, right? Like, Neymar gets fouled and he rolls across the pitch and he has a tantrum. And even when he doesn't get fouled, he flops and he rolls around across the pitch and has a tantrum. Mm-hmm. And like, that doesn't happen in the women's game because for so long, women weren't allowed to. Like, they can't get taken seriously to begin with.
Right.
And so if they were playing at the professional level and they would flop, they'd be like, well, clearly you can't handle it. Like, no, it's a tactic. Like, it's all a tactic. Like, you flop to get the foul, to get the free kick, to get the goal. It's like what you do.
Yeah.
And so I think in part, refs were just letting them do it. Just go. Because ultimately, after a lot of fouls, you're going to get a team that has advantage. Like, it's going to naturally happen. And so they're like, we're just going to play advantage unless it's egregious. And sometimes that works and sometimes that doesn't, which is what's really hard about soccer, is that it's all opinion when you call something.
Yeah.
And so that doesn't...
Subjective. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It doesn't always work.
Go ahead.
Okay. I remember, I don't remember what game it was, but Crystal Dunn got fouled, I swear, and she was limping and she got up slow and they didn't call it. And it reminded me, she just said in the interview, like, how she does not get the calls and like Black women don't get the calls. And so they have to get back up because they're not going to get them no matter what. And I feel like I saw it in action, and I really got to go back and see which game it was, but it was in the defensive end, but yeah.
Like, not only that, it's just, I think that there are, I don't know, there are some just dangerous plays that were happening that were not getting called, in my opinion. Not like an overt amount, but like, I think that there were some that was like, I cannot fucking believe that you didn't call that. And I 100% believe that Black women do not get the call. And I would also believe that they probably get called four fouls more.
Oh, yeah.
Than, like, white counterparts. But, yeah.
Yeah.
Final?
Do we want to do some drops before we talk about
the final?
Sure.
Let's do it.
I don't. You should do your drop first because it was the most disgusting thing.
Okay, so my drop, womp womp womp, was the kiss. So after Spain won the final, spoiler, I should have said spoiler before, but Anne already said it, so it's really not a spoiler alert. This happened 2 days ago. So after Spain won the final, piece of literal shit, Luis Rubiales, who is president of the disgraceful Spanish Football Federation, kissed Jenny Hermoso on the lips without consent. That pause was intentional for you to just like soak in what the fuck happened.
It was so gross. It's so gross. He's just so gross.
It's so upsetting. It's so upsetting on so many levels. Hermoso obviously said she did not like it. He came out and apologized. Too little, too late, man. You may also remember that the Spanish Federation is garbage, and many players, most of whom were not on this squad, spoke out against coach Jorge Vilda last year, and then the Federation was like, no, we like him. Even though they were like, he's emotionally abusive. They were like, no, we like him. So my drop is trash man in power doing trash things. Tale as old as time.
It sure is. But an added thing to this that I think is interesting is that the Spanish prime minister even weighed in on this and like completely, because Rubiales apologized after the fact, you know, because he got called out. And so naturally he then felt like he had to apologize, despite the fact that I'm pretty sure he does not think that he did anything wrong. And then the prime minister said that his apology was not enough. And I really love that the Spanish prime minister, who has nothing to do with the Spanish Soccer Federation, has nothing to do with any of like this in the little microcosm of soccer that this is. He was like, no, that's not good enough. That you did not do good enough.
Get out of here. All right. Who else has sad things?
I'm not done talking about this. I'm so mad. Like, it was that, and then he was like grabbing himself at the end of the game. Did you see that clip?
No, I didn't see that.
Ugh. Yes, like it was just disgusting. And I can't. And then I stumbled upon when Ada, what's her last name? Her she's from Norway.
Hegerberg.
Hegerberg. Okay. When she won the Ballon d'Or, am I saying that right?
I don't know. None of us speak French. It's fine.
Okay. All right. she was the first woman to win it. And the presenter was like, do you want to twerk for us? And it just like, what is wrong? Like at some point, what is wrong with people? Like, I wouldn't say that in a professional setting. And you're going to say it on live TV to a professional woman getting a huge award. I just can't. I don't know. Do you expect anything to come of this? Either of you?
No.
Unfortunately not. I feel like what we've seen. Yeah.
Especially because the Spanish Federation is already, is already trash. I don't think that they're going to do anything about it. But I was also thinking about this because I was looking at old, I just like went down a rabbit hole of soccer content on YouTube. And one of the things that I found was from the 2015, like interviewing US women's national team players before the whole thing. And one of the questions that was like, it was just like a fun, like rapid fire series of questions. And they supercut all like the different players answering the questions. But one of them was, who is your celebrity crush? And I was just thinking, they would not put that into a rapid fire question series for men.
No, never.
So why we continue, and this was 2015. So obviously the way that we talk about this has evolved over the past 8 years mm-hmm. and what we deem acceptable.
But clearly not enough.
No, it's never going to be enough. And that's why we keep having conversations like this in almost every podcast.
Right.
But I was like, they would never ask the men to do that. And then I also went down the rabbit hole of thinking about why they asked the women to do that. And then the way that we presume straightness. Mm-hmm. For people in general, but then particularly these players, and how some people have to answer the question with some random actor because they don't feel comfortable being. And I went down a whole, it started with this of like unacceptable things that we, and situations that we put these professional women in. And it's mm-hmm. gross.
It is gross.
It's very so gross. And it was such a downer to end with that. But
yeah.
The World Cup, the pinnacle of the moment, you have a champion, and like we're not as far as I felt we were. Just so that reminder, it's like, oh, you can be happy, but don't be too happy. It's just like such a bummer. I don't know.
Yeah, especially because we were also like, despite the fact that we were not excited that the US Women's National Team were not there, but it was exciting to have a new team.
Yeah.
It's like a first time team win this thing. And so we're like, oh my, this game is evolving so much. And then it's like, just kidding. No, it's not. No, it's not evolving that much.
It's terrible. Okay. All right, what other trash garbage do we have?
I have, my trash garbage is the fact that Jamaica had to crowdsource to even afford to get to the tournament. They had to have a GoFundMe in order to afford getting to the World Cup. Like, you have a team that is going to play on the biggest stage for their sport, and you cannot get them plane tickets to get to the World Cup. Get the plane tickets. I get that Australia and New Zealand's far away. It's expensive. It's part of the reason why we didn't end up going. I get that. But we aren't the professional team. We aren't the team. Like, they had to bank on friends, family, and fans to get there. And that is ridiculous. At the most elite level of play, that is a joke. And then they had, because Jamaica's a badass team, they went on to have a great tournament.
Yeah.
Despite the fact that they had to have a GoFundMe. I can't.
That's the annoying part, because the teams that are facing adversity are like protesting their, like, the Spanish, you know, federation. Their success is going to be claimed by the dirtbags.
Yeah.
And that's such an insult. It's just such an insult.
Yeah. These teams are doing well in spite of their federations, not
Yes.
And it would be nice to have teams do well because of their federations.
Right.
Of having a federation that supports them, that pays them appropriately, that invests in them, that provides them with facilities that are helpful, that gives them the training that they need to remain healthy. I saw another player today, not World Cup, but another player tore an ACL. Mm. If we give them the investment that they deserve, not because they are underfunded, but simply because they are a professional sport. They're a professional sport, so they should get invested. That is how professional sports work. Like, you are a sport at the highest level, you get money to be able to continue to play at the highest level. Mm-hmm. Like, if we could just keep that across the board, that'd be super. But alas, you have to GoFundMe to get to the goddamn tournament.
And dumb Canada, get it together.
Oh my God, right? Ugh, there's so many bad federations out there. Like, Nigeria not getting paid.
Yeah, Nigeria.
Oh my gosh.
They still haven't gotten paid for stuff that they did in 2022. Forget this World Cup. Simply 2022, a year that has already happened in its entirety. They still haven't gotten paid for it. And then Canada, it's just so upsetting that they fizzled out the way that they did in this tournament. Because
the timing was bad.
Yeah. And I'm sure that getting a collective bargaining agreement that was just kind of the bare minimum of what you were asking in the middle of the tournament, it happened, doesn't help.
Yeah.
No, it doesn't.
All right, what's your sad thing?
Yeah.
What a nice little downer sandwich in the middle of the pub.
My simple sad thing was Bunny Shaw, her second yellow card, and then she, turned into a red card. She had to sit. Because I looked back at the clip again today, and that was not a yellow card.
No. There were a lot of yellows that weren't yellows.
Yeah. I think that's the thing. We're talking about the reffing stuff really fast. It's just I think the lack of consistency is very frustrating. I think there were things that were egregious not called and things that were called as egregious that were not. So anyway.
Yes. And I'm mad. I mean, can we talk about that? Are we going to lump the U.S. Women's National Team into a complain?
Yeah, I figure we could have a whole ass conversation about that, because that's that in and of itself is Anna literally put it separately as overall drop.
Okay, I got one more drop that we'll talk about then that's not U.S. Women's National Team.
Okay.
The Infantino little speech he gave about we have to convince men and push doors open. Who's in charge of this man?
No one. That's the problem.
Snatch him up. As soon as he said, I have four daughters at home, so I've got a few, I was tackle him. Somebody right now.
Wrap that, it up. Get him out of here.
Out. Out. Like, what is wrong with you?
On top of that, the fact that he left the tournament after the group stage, or he left early on in the tournament. Whereas for the Men's World Cup, he stayed the entire time. He went to every game. He attended all of them. He was in his stupid little fancy box for every game. But for the Women's World Cup, he left. He left and he did not come back until the final. Or maybe the semifinals. I don't know. He left for a good chunk of the games. Which, if he ever did that for a Men's World Cup, he would have gotten his ass chewed out. But the fact that he could just do it for a Women's World Cup, he didn't have to attend all of the games. I get it's a lot, but it's also your job. Just fucking go. Like,
also, there was, just like on a very basic level, there's a lot of really good soccer being played in those games.
Right? Like, I would cut my, not arm off, but I would think about it.
I would consider it.
These games. I would consider it because any of them I would have loved to go to. And you're just like, I got to go meet with a delegation from the Pacific Islands. No, you did not. That's not true. Quit that.
And also, you're prioritizing them now? First of all, that's not good timing.
No.
Just first of all. Second of all, you haven't ever prioritized them before. So why is it now? And third, this is a World Cup.
It's like your thing. It's like it's your only thing.
Like, yeah. Get it together. It's like they don't like money. It's like, I do not want to do this because I don't like money. Like, if you grow the game, you will make the money.
Right. Just...
Oh, man. It seems simple, and yet.
It's like capitalism 101.
Right.
Do the thing, get the money.
If you build it, they will come.
Right.
Same Field of Dreams. It works.
Which they literally, I mean.
All I know is that's about a cornfield and baseball, right?
Yes. And Kevin Costner. That's probably all you need to know. And ghosts.
But like, you look at, I mean, they set like
it's
four different.
Movie?
Sort of.
Yeah, it kind of is.
Well, now I've got to watch it.
It's just okay.
Okay.
But like, setting so many fucking records out here for attendance, for viewership, like.
You'd think that if like follow the money is like one is like business 101. Like, I'm sure that's all they talk about in that class. If you take it in college, is you follow the money.
If you see money, go to it. Mm-hmm. But they're like money sexism. I like this one.
Yeah.
And it's not like, money. Hint, hint.
Better not. Better be safe. Gosh, they're annoying. That's the thing. We should just like, have a separate leadership division for the women's game that actually cares.
Honestly,
like, why are we messing around with these people?
Yeah.
Find one fan from each NWSL team and each like WSL team, each like La Liga feminine, whatever.
Yes.
Like, just like find one fan from each of the teams across the world, from the A-League, from all of it. And then have them be the committee that does this. You just need one fan from each team and they'll make it happen. You know that one of them is going to be a spreadsheet lesbian who's going to be ready. You know one of them is going to be like the extrovert that you need to get everybody together. You know that you're going to have the team mom who's going to bring this. You've got everybody. You know you'll have one of everybody.
That's right.
Oh,
that
my God. Right. I was not expecting that.
I love that. I love that. By committee. It should be by committee.
Yes. I think we've solved it.
Wow.
We have. Why doesn't anybody listen to us?
I don't know.
I know. They listed all the great podcasts that you should listen to for women's soccer, and we were not on it, shockingly.
You guys should have photoshopped it.
I know, right? Look. Sam Bondurant, I'm sorry your listenership is not quite enough to get us on that list.
Yeah, or our respective spouses who also listen to us.
And you, Em, thank you.
Yes.
Do we want to talk about the U.S. Women's National Team now? And then we can end it with some good things? Because I really think this is going to be a huge downer rant, and then we'll just get to some good things of the finals.
Yeah, we can get into this. Because I think that we all have a lot to say.
And most of the things that we have to say, we have already shared with one another. And so we will really be able to just like, you know, get this out and it'll just make us feel a little bit better.
I even made a TikTok about this.
It was good.
Thank you.
I liked it.
It was made in the heat of the moment, but
good.
Okay.
I learned the name of Chuck E. Cheese.
Right? I think a lot of people did.
I did not know.
Charles Entertainment Cheese.
Entertainment. My
wife is, yes, my wife is a font of knowledge.
Dr. Z Lacey, everybody.
Oh, I love it.
Okay. The U.S. Women's National Team. The dumpster fire that was their tournament.
Let me go ahead and insert this sound effect here. There we go.
I was looking down for the first. She did that. If anybody never sees this video, she did that herself. Computer animated. That is impressive. I thought that was from the computer.
We have talked about getting a soundboard.
Yes. Wow.
Okay.
Oh God.
All right.
It was a big fucking bummer, everybody.
Yeah, the U.S. was my, I wrote down on my little notes, I say this a lot, but it looks strange written down. I just wrote, como se dice, yikes.
But just to clarify this, yikes is spaced out letter by letter, so it's like, yikes. It's not just yikes together. Yeah. And it's an all caps.
Yikes, yeah.
Yeah, big time.
Just everything about their performance was not good. And that's not 100% the player's fault.
Oh my gosh, no.
But it was just so upsetting.
The fact that you can have so much raw fucking talent on a team and do so poorly with it.
Yes.
It's just like, I am like, I'm not actually speechless. I've never been speechless in my life. But like, it was bothersome to say the least. Yeah, I don't know. Em, what are your thoughts on this?
I'm a little like not embarrassed. I don't know if embarrassed is the right word because like I live and die by the NWSL and I love, mm-hmm. I know the talent. So like, why'd y'all go out there and play like that? You know, like we're so much better than that. It's like when you teach your kid a song and then you have friends come over and you're like, hey, kids, sing this song. Look how cool they are. And then they just, like, forget the words.
That's such a good metaphor.
It's like, we practiced this. I've seen you do it before. Why? What happened?
But, and I definitely am, like, you know, taking some of this from the recap show where Jill Ellis was on with Kristen Press and Tobin Heath. But the fact that, and this, I promise this is not a dig at Savannah DeMello, who I think worked hard and played well. But before the camp, prior to the World Cup, she had never been called up to the national team to play a match.
That's an impossible situation. Yeah.
It is, because you are trying to build a team with chemistry. And, you know, on the recap show, they're talking about how you have to be thinking about this years in advance and how 4 years can even be, like, a short amount of time to try to think strategically about what you want. And if you have a player who until a month before has never played with the other players on the team, how can you expect to have enough chemistry to create a World Cup winning squad? It just logically makes no fucking sense.
And then we know it's not the talent of the that's what the annoying thing is. It's not the talent of the players because it's there.
Right.
It is the, like, mechanics of whatever was going on that apparently Emily Sonnet was the key to the entire time.
Yeah, the thing is that I've seen different places that they say that Vlatko coaches based on statistics. And when you listen over the course of the recap show, some of the guests they have, Jill Ellis, Laura Harvey, and Dawn Scott, even Jill Ellis, who's kind of a machine in and of herself, was like, you have to remind, they're people. These are people. And you can't just stick them out on the field and say, do this thing. They have to do it together. They have to do it as a cohesive unit. And like Tobin Heath talks about seeing 11 individual players, not one U.S. women's national team.
Yes.
They talk about like the fact that these players are a unit.
Yeah.
And that was not what Vlatko put out there. Vlatko did not put a unit out there.
No cohesiveness.
And the fact that staff at different levels, so Jill Ellis, Dawn Scott, obviously both worked alongside one another with the U.S. Women's National Team. Laura Harvey worked with U-20, so she worked with some of the players that were on this roster and has also coached in the NWSL forever. And so she's seen a lot of these players, knows how to work with them cohesively. I'm still mad that she was not the coach, but that is neither here nor there. But there's an acknowledgement that you cannot just go into this saying, well, Sav DeMello can do this 75% of the time, and so if we plug her in, she'll be able to do it 75% of the time. Well, can she do it with Andy Sullivan next to her 75% of the time? We don't know, because we only saw it 3 weeks ago for the first time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And like you were saying, like, Emily Sonnet being the key, like, why, first of all, why did Emily Sonnet, like, literally just play basically for, like, the first time in the last match where they actually did play much better versus Sweden? But, like, where was fucking Alana Cook, you know? Why wasn't Ashley Sanchez brought in at least once for some relief? Like, it looked like at one point that Emily Fox on the back line was going to collapse.
They ran her ragged. They did.
But they didn't have to.
No, they did not.
And that's the really frustrating thing, is that there was talent on the bench that was not utilized. Christy Mew is playing for one fucking minute and then having to score a goal and as the PK, which she did. But, like, why not bring some of that in? It's like, oh, I don't want to mess with, like, the flow. There was no flow. There was never any flow.
You can't mess with something that doesn't exist.
Yeah. Like cottage cheese flow. Who is not?
Oh god.
It was,
sorry for the visual, my bad.
But it was so outrageously bad. And part of the reason why it worked with Emily Sonnet was not simply because it was Emily Sonnet, though I do think that helped a lot, but it was because they had a bad formation the entire time. They were relying on a formation that works with other players, works with players that were injured, works with players that we haven't seen called up in a while, works with players who weren't called up, thinking Ashley Hatch. Like, it works with other players, not with these players. So the fact that they weren't utilizing Julie Ertz in a midfield position when they could have, and the fact that it only came together when they put those two holding mids in there, speaks to the fact that Vlatko should have figured that out way earlier. Vlatko should have figured out that the strategy that they were utilizing and the formation that they were using wasn't working against Vietnam. And he didn't do anything about it. He used the same starting lineup in the same formation again and again. And that's just like, fool me once, you know, shame on me. Fool me twice, what the fuck are we doing here? Like, it was just like, you're not changing things tactically by opponent, which you should be, especially when you go into a second game against a vastly different opponent than Vietnam. I can appreciate wanting to start Sav DeMello maybe in that first game against Vietnam, because you're like, well, we need to get her minutes because we want to be utilizing her, and this is a team that we know we can beat. But then against the Netherlands, you're gonna have to change. It wasn't working against Vietnam. You're gonna need to change some things, and he didn't. And so it is, for me, not just the players weren't up to snuff, they weren't playing the way that we know that they can play, it was the fact that Vlatko didn't do anything to help that.
That makes me sad for, like, Sophia Smith just scored almost immediately back in Portland. Right?
Like, and Ashley Sanchez.
Yeah, and like, I was so afraid that we had broken Sophia Smith, like, spiritually, because she's so good and she's on this huge stage for the first time. Like, she's just a kid. Like, 23 is young. Yeah. And she missed that PK. Like, it was not fair to them. And that is why I'm mad, because it made them look silly, and they are not silly.
That's a great way to put it.
And speaking of that Sweden game, the fact that Alex Morgan was taken out for a sub who played for a minute, when Alex Morgan has been in a number of PK shootouts, she has been in this game. She's more mentally in it than a player who's been in there for a minute. No offense, Kelly O'Hara. No offense, Christine.
She's warm. Yeah.
You're both delightful, and I love you on the field, sometimes not off the field. But I appreciate what you're bringing, but maybe let somebody who's been in their now third World Cup, who's been in these scenarios at the highest level, stick it out for another 5 minutes.
Or if you're going to bring those people in, bring them in sooner.
Way sooner.
75th minute. Like,
you know, the memes that came out of Vlatko not subbing people were brutal.
And hysterical. I enjoyed all of them.
Like, the one, my favorite was the one that, you know, the person who did it, I think.
Yes.
It was like, hard year for subs. And then it was like the Titanic thing. And then it showed Vlatko.
Yes. Go Caitlin Gilbert. Sorry that just didn't give you any credit.
Tag. They didn't tag you.
But that was very funny.
It made them look silly and they're not silly. That's just like a really... It is a really good way to put it.
And it, like, it was annoying to listen to all the talk from other countries, almost. Like, oh, I guess the U.S. isn't good anymore. I was like, okay.
The Netherlands? Oh, my God. Berenstein, I was like.
No.
I was like, I want Spain to crush you.
Crush them.
Crush you.
I did.
And, you know, at that point, I was, like, heartily cheering for Spain. And I did claim my murderer. Great-grandfather, who was from Spain in that moment. I was like, yep, killed them. Just like we learned.
Just like you have been want to do all throughout history. Do it again!
Oh, God.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess I don't understand the whole... So the Netherlands, people from the Netherlands are very blunt. Is that...
Yeah.
Was that what that was? Was she just being blunt, or was she being, like, cocky?
I think both.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
I think both and. Because I think that they felt good about making it out of the group stage and then feeling like they had the momentum. I'm gonna die.
It sounds like Anna's about to cry, but Anna doesn't know how to cry, so that's not possible.
I do know how to cry. I cry watching Heartstopper. Thank you so much. And during Happy Things. But that is really where that list ends. I think that they felt cocky going into it because they didn't do poorly against the U.S. and then were doing, like, steadily better. Like, especially their last game in the group match, they just...
Well, and they won the group.
Yeah. But they, like, they were leaving the group at a high. Like, they had trounced Vietnam. Yeah. And then...
The way we should have.
Right. And coming out of that, they had the momentum. And so I think it came from a little bit of cockiness, but also just the fact that they're going to say things and they're just going to say them, which I do get, but it was.
Yeah. She was even like, I'm not trying to be rude, but it's like, you know, she literally did say she was like cheering for the fact that they were out. And it's like, oh, they came in talking about the final. It's like everybody probably comes in talking about the final.
But if you're not there thinking you're going to win, like, why are you there?
But she, like, the fact that she, like, could not fucking make a goal, like, that just tried so hard and couldn't, and then she fucked up, and then
they lost.
Spain scored off of that opportunity in extra time. I was happy about that.
Yeah, and if Alexi Lawless could never speak out loud again, I personally would love that. I saw a TikTok recently, because I don't actually watch any of the Fox soccer content, because I don't also want to listen to Carly Lloyd, so I just, like, I don't tune in, but it was asking, like, the different people who they had on that halftime panel, who they would want to see the next U.S. Women's National Team coach was, and he was like, he's got two thumbs and is sitting right here, and I was just like, you've played in, like, 4 World Cup games, maybe, you've, like, you haven't done anything. Your career was lackluster at best. And on top of that, like, post-career, you did very little when you were doing things with the MLS. Like, shut up. I don't know why you get a platform.
And he likes Ron DeSantis, which already disqualifies him in my mind as someone I should listen to.
Yeah, and especially as someone who should have any say over what women are doing ever.
Gross. I don't understand... There are so many better people. Why do we have people that just openly despise women talking about this game? Like, quit it. We don't need them.
Right?
Well, yeah. I mean, that's a whole other...
That's a whole other can of cottage cheese right there.
Ew. 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 That's how way worse. Ew.
Okay. Can you imagine? Canned dairy. But I guess it's not a good thing, like, but I guess it is a good thing, is that Vlatko resigned. So we'll be looking for a new coach. It'd be really great.
Who's your guesses?
If it's not Laura Harvey, I'm gonna sue.
I know a lawyer. it's my uncle.
Oh, okay.
That's it. I don't know. I mean, I would love to see. I loved that Brandi Chastain was like, someday I'd love to do it. I was like, I'd love that for you too, Brandi.
Yes.
I love it. She once told me when I was in the 7th grade and I was getting things signed at the stadium, and Mia Hamm grabbed my shirt first, and then she came around and I had my shoe down there and the jersey, and she was like, I can only sign one thing. And I was like, okay, sign the shirt. I just wanted anything with any signatures on it.
So that's what she said to you? I can only sign one thing?
Yes.
Why is that so funny?
Me holding my like black and white Vans down. Yes.
Oh, classic.
Yep. Okay. We love Audrey.
But would love to see that. I mean, I doubt it's gonna happen, but like, I think that would be so fucking sick.
That would be real cool. Full circle.
Your thoughts, Ian?
I love Laura Harvey. I'm worried that the job will like break her. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. Like, I don't want her, like, you know, because that's such a hard job. Not that I don't think she's up for it. She is probably up for it, but like, I love her at Rain too.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I literally have no idea.
The thing about Laura Harvey is that she's worked within U.S. soccer before. So yeah. She was doing the U-20 team. She also was invited, as I learned on the recap show, by Vlatko to come in occasionally and kind of sort of be an assistant coach. So I think that she knows enough about U.S. soccer and the shitstorm that it is. Yes. That I think that she could handle it. And what I think is more important is I think that she has the respect of enough players that would have her back, especially the veteran players that are there. Mm-hmm. They'd be like, no. In the same way that there were veteran players who were willing to go to the Federation to say, we want Jill out, I think that there would also be veteran players that are willing to say, don't mess with Laura Harvey, because we will come for your throats. And on top of that, I think that there are other international players would be like, if you break her, we will, Jess Fishlock will come in
Jess
here.
Fishlock. I like that she is collaborative with the players. And like, Jess Fishlock has an excellent soccer mind, like excellent tactical mind. And I see that, like, her collaborating with Harvey. And I don't know, maybe
what a combo that would be.
Oh my gosh. Just I love her. I love Jess Fishlock so much.
Yeah, she's a treasure.
She is.
Okay. So I feel like we've covered the U.S. Women's National Team simply because I think that if we talk about it anymore, we will get so angry that we won't be able to wind back down.
I think that's probably fair. And, you know, just like all love to these U.S. Women's National Team players. Like, that had to be so difficult, so much pressure. And Vlatko can, like, kind of suck it. So, you know, that's my opinion.
Oh, yeah. I hope that they – I just want to – like, when I go to Cincinnati, hold up a sign and be like, oh, I'm sorry, Andy Sullivan, it wasn't your fault after all. Like,
it's, can you do like a Goodwill Hunting, like you hugging, like put your face on like Robin Williams' body and then like put Andy Sullivan's face on Matt Damon and be like, it's not your fault. It's not your fault.
It's not. It's that poor woman had to take the flack of the internet for like a year. And turns out we were just missing Emily Sonnet.
Turns out if you change things tactically, sometimes it helps.
Yeah.
Wow. Imagine that. Okay. We'll put a cap on it.
Okay. Our finals picks.
Yes.
A wonderful World Cup final this past Sunday at the ass crack of dawn.
What?
Like all games this World Cup, either late into the evening or very early in the morning, we had our World Cup final. The England Lionesses against the Spanish women's national team. I don't think they have a fun name. Well, champions now, I suppose.
That's the best name.
What up?
So what wonderful things happened in this final that we want to talk about?
Well, I know what I want to talk about. It's Merps. Mary Herbs.
I have Merps. Her on my list too.
Oh, excellent. So Mary Herbs, England's goalkeeper, I would say she came up like pretty fucking huge for the Lionesses in the final against Spain. Score could have quite easily been much worse than 1-0 if it wasn't for her. And she did. She made like a bazillion saves throughout the match. But I would say the most badass was when she stopped a penalty from the Jenny Hermoso. This bitch literally said, "Step aside, listener. I'm about to make a fucking dope penalty stop in a late stage World Cup match." I will also say the facial expressions that came from that moment are pure fucking gold. Please go look them up if you have not seen them. And I definitely did a bad lip reading and like a Cockney accent of her, like when it was happening, because you could see her mouthing like "fuck yeah," like,
or she yells
like,
"fuck off,"
like, and so I would like, "oh yeah, fuck, oh yeah," like just doing like really shit Cockney accent at the time. Yeah. I didn't actually get to, because we moved houses this weekend. I didn't actually get to watch it till like 3 p.m. And so Anthony and I would get on our phones and we'd be like, "don't get on social media. Don't look at anything."
That's so sweet.
So Lionesses, Avi did not get the W in the end, but Herbs, Merps. What a match. What a tournament she had.
She was incredible that game. I mean, keepers across the board, I think, were the stars of this World Cup. I mean, I think Sweden, I think Nigeria, obviously Mary Herbs, Alyssa Nair, iconic. Mary Herbs in that final, she was like, "I'm leaving it out here. I'm leaving it all out here, and I'm gonna do my damnedest to make sure that whatever happens is not my fault." And she did the damn thing. Except that, and this kind of goes into my pick of Olga Carmona as my finals pick, because beyond just her goal, she was making chances at every turn. She was doing the most at every moment. Anytime she had the ball, she was making chances for other players. She was getting the ball to her whenever there was an opening. Like, she did so much. And to be 23 years old and score the only goal in that final, and to have such a career in front of her, like, is incredible.
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 Yeah. Spain's passing is so beautiful. It's so beautiful. It almost looks unreal. Like, how do they do that in such tight spaces? I love it. I don't love it when it would be against us, when they made us so silly, but yeah. I do like it a lot. My favorite thing was, did you guys see the video of Mary Earp's parents on the train to the game?
No.
Okay. So this guy's interviewing them and they both have Mary Earp's jerseys on, like the keeper jerseys. And he's interviewing. He's like, "where did you get those? Like, nobody can get them." And they said, "Google." And the guy's like, "oh, okay. Are those game worn jerseys?" And he's like, "yeah, this is against the Dutch. This was the first game." And he goes, "are you related to Mary Earps?" And they said, "yeah." Is there his parent? They're her parents. And then he said, "are you proud of her?" And they're on their way to the final, and they'll say, "we'll see how she does tonight."
Oh,
and I was like, "oh my god,
that's the most English thing I've ever heard."
It was like peak English dad. You're gonna have to look that up.
That's amazing. Oh my god.
Yeah. So Mary Earp's parents is my favorite.
I fucking love it.
To go back to the passing, I was watching it and my housemate Steven came down and watched it and he was like, England looks messy. And I was like, yes, they're taking too many touches on the ball each time. Like, if you watch Spain, it's a one touch pass every time. Like, there's very little dribbling involved. It's maybe a settle and then a pass. They're getting rid of the ball as soon as they get it to keep the momentum, to keep things moving, so that they're not encouraging defenders to come to them. England wasn't doing that. They would take too many touches. They wouldn't get rid of the ball. Nobody was moving. It wasn't happening. So compared to what the Spanish were doing, which was objectively beautiful soccer,
yeah,
England looked messy.
Anthony said that Spain was making England look like the U.S.
Woof.
Yeah. We looked like that against the Netherlands, I feel
like. Yeah. We did.
It was a good final. I liked that it was not like stressful. Like, we didn't have extra time. We didn't have penalties. Yeah. It was just a good game of soccer for 90.
That was a lot of stoppage time at the end, though. And well, like, was it Greenwood who had the tape situation? Oh, yeah. And Lucy Bronze is just like over there like, we need shorts because I can't have blood on the field.
She's like washing off her hands to make sure that there is no blood.
Yeah,
that was a lot of stoppage time.
She must have been gushing because they had her.
Yeah, I was like watching. I was watching her like touch her. But yeah, it was a great final. Sad that the U.S. Women's National Team wasn't in it. But like a lot of like so much. I mean, we can just shift now into like rapid fire, like good shit about the World Cup before we wrap up. But like there was so much good soccer played. And like it was, I even texted Anna like after I think the group stage. Or maybe even before the group stage was over, because we did not do well against Portugal. And it was like, I will be so sad, so devastated if the U.S. Women's National Team does not make it very far. But like the fact that there were so many teams putting up a good fight, doing so well, was encouraging to watch. And like, I'm not going to necessarily use that as an excuse for like why the U.S. Women's National Team didn't do well, but it is objectively true. Like watching these teams, watching the sport, and just like, seeing the response of Australia and like them coming around their team, like I get chills thinking about like how exciting that is, that like the support that we have shown for the U.S. Women's National Team, like the Matildas are like now getting from their folks, and like just that like energy spreading across the world is like super fucking cool.
And to kind of talk about that a little bit more, one of a good thing that has happened as a result of this World Cup is that the Australian Prime Minister announced a new program to improve sports facilities and equipment specifically for women and girls. There's like a $200 million investment that they will now be doing in Australia.
That's amazing.
Which turns out you can invest and it'll be helpful.
Yes. I don't love blowout games. I like scoring, but I don't love blowout games. So this group stage was my favorite. And seeing like Linda Caicedo is one of my new favorite players.
God.
She's a baby. Amazing. She's 18, right? 18. And I'm just so excited to watch her for the next 20 years play on the world stage.
I could watch that goal. You know the goal. The footwork.
The goal. Yes.
Just absolutely fucking gorgeous. Just so good.
Yes. And did you see Marta's speech? You know, what she gave? I every time I watch it, I cry.
It's just,
yeah, because every time Marta speaks after a World Cup, because this happened in 2019 too, where she had like this speech that she gave to the press about like the future, and she was crying, and I was just like, I can't.
It's too much.
The fact, because at that point we didn't know she was playing again, and it was just too much.
Yeah, there's so much good young talent out there. Yes. Perry Huelo from Spain,
so good.
Oh my god, 19, holy shit, just fucking amazing.
And then South Korea had a 16-year-old.
Oh my god, it's wild.
Just babies.
Tiny babies.
Little babies.
But like, I know we spent a lot of time shitting on a coach, but like, shout out to Serena Wiegmann. Second time she's taken a different team. She, you know, she took the Netherlands in 2019, now took the Lionesses. Obviously didn't come up with a W, but like, she seems like a really solid coach.
She's stunning. Yeah.
Also, I really want one of those Lionesses puffy jackets.
Yeah.
Those really look cool to me.
They look good. Yes.
I like those.
I really like a lot of the gear. I have a Lionesses shirt that I got at the 2019 World Cup, but it's just a white shirt with their crest. But I really like that they're leaning into like the opalescent and like the pinks and the blues. I wish I had one of those from then, but it's like, it reminds me of the Spanish away, the blue with like the Adidas blue. With like, there's like a like little bit of pink. It's the same kind of vibe. And I like
Adidas said, step aside, Becky. Our World Cup jerseys are going to be chef's keys. Because, like, Colombia's jerseys. So I thought Japan looked great.
Oh, amazing.
Like, so many.
Germany. They have that amazing green jersey. Yes. And they don't even make it out of the group. I didn't mean to call you dumb, Germany. I'm sorry. I take it back. You're not dumb.
I take it back. But just, like, so many good things.
Yeah, I mean, Nigeria was incredible.
Oh, so good.
Nigeria Colombia was incredible. Jamaica was incredible. Seeing a lot of teams, and I've talked about it already, just, like, excel so far past what we ever think these teams will do, simply because historically they have not. And watching them do so well, I was so jazzed to see Nigeria and Colombia do as well as they did. Nigeria is going to be a force.
Oh my God. Super Falcons indeed.
Mm-hmm. Caw caw.
Three African nations making it out of the group stage. It was just good. Yeah. Like, if you only watched soccer because of the U.S. women's national team, I hope that you watched more of the World Cup than just that, because they were not the best soccer in this tournament by far. Mm-hmm. There were so many incredible moments from so many players. Like,
and some of those players play in the NWSL.
Yes. Who's the player from South Africa that just, like, totally crushed and plays for Racing Louisville? Racing Louisville had a lot of goals. Yeah.
It's like THEMBI, Thembe.
Yeah.
But Racing, because there was the player from Brazil who plays for Racing that had a hat trick. So they, they had, like, so many goals.
Racing, of all places, right? Racing struggled last year, 2 years in a row, so bad. And this year they have it. And it's mainly due, they got some really great international players.
Yes, they do. They really do.
How, like, Orlando Pride has Rafaela now, which makes me really sad because she used to play for Arsenal, but it's okay. Mm-hmm. It's fine. She came back and is now crushing it with the Orlando Pride. The Gotham players came back and played in their first game. Like, watching Sinead Farrelly come back was super great and really exciting.
It does just get you geared up for, like, club season. Like, WSL in October. I forget when the A-League started. I think in January. But
I remember the first time that I really watched the NWSL was after the 2015 World Cup, because I didn't know about the NWSL at the time. And granted, it had only been around for, like, two years at that point. Mm-hmm. But I came back and watched Kansas City win the whole thing with Lauren Holiday. Chaney Holiday.
Oh, okay. Speaking of Lauren, like, I know that Lauren James had kind of, like, a not great moment against Nigeria, but overall,
incredible.
In the group stage, she was fucking outstanding. And mm-hmm.
if she hadn't gotten that red card, I think she could have gotten the golden boot.
Oh, yeah.
Also, back to the World Cup final, the starting lineup, I know Serena Begman was playing for the long game and thinking of extra time, but not starting Chloe Kelly and Lauren James was a mistake. No offense to Alicia Russo, who is a gem and now an Arsenal player. I love that for me. But that was not the move.
I was wondering why Chloe Kelly did not start.
Yeah.
Also, Chloe Kelly, when they kicked Nigeria out and Chloe Kelly went to the keeper and... Yes. Was the consoling her and told the cameras to get the fuck out because she was having a moment. Upset.
Yeah.
And she didn't need it to be filmed.
The amount of empathy shown at this World Cup, like, I felt like was just really...
Own a battle with Lucy Bronze.
Like,
so much good actual sportsmanship and not gay sportsmanship. Also gay sportsmanship.
I was going to say, I'm pretty sure there was both.
Yes, for sure both.
But, yes.
Okay, to wrap it up, what did you think of this World Cup in three words or less? Oh, God. That's two.
uh, I'm just
three words. Okay.
I'm gonna
wow.
Go,
yay,
I'm,
soccer. That's three words. Three
yeah,
words
perfect.
Yeah.
Excited for future.
That's good.
Badass women. Yay.
She did it too. That's awesome.
Hell yeah.
It was so good.
It was really good.
Well, it wasn't good for us as US fans, but it was good overall, which is honestly probably better for the game as a whole.
And it's good because it showed like, yeah, we do need a change. We're not thriving. So it was good right. Because it did, you know.
It highlighted some things that, yeah, yes. Stuff that we have been seeing for a couple of years now, really. Ever
exactly.
Since COVID, I would say.
Yeah, ever since Vlatko.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. But, you know, if you want to continue seeing great WOSO content, definitely follow Em on TikTok because you're going to see that way more regularly than you're ever going to see or hear a podcast from us. So,
despite the fact that we live less than 10 minutes away from each other.
Okay, look.
You guys are going to take a hiatus to do a Pretty Little Liars podcast.
Absolutely.
That's what it's going to be.
Absolutely. But for real, Em, thank you so much for being with us.
Thanks for inviting me.
Again, as you know, we'll see you on the text thread.
Yes.
Now that our attention is back to the NWSL entirely.
So oh my god, yeah.
No other soccer around. Oh, we're going to an NWSL game.
Oh fuck yeah, we are in like a week.
Wait, what? What?
We're going to Anthony got me and Anna and Z and him tickets to go see the Kansas City Current play Angel City in a couple weeks.
That is gonna be a blast.
Yeah, very exciting.
They just had a huge crowd. Oh, yeah. The endo.
I know.
I'm so jealous.
I'm hoping Cindy LaRue doesn't have any more broken bones.
Good Christ.
Oh, I know. Or broken ribs. Like, who broke her ribs?
Who did that? Cassius.
Who did that? I want a name. Oh, yeah.
Even if it's a child, I don't care. Rue?
We'll come get you. We'll get you.
Yes.
Yeah. What do we even say at the end? Follow us on social media.
Oh, you can follow us on Instagram. I don't really do anything with it, but we have it. I'm probably going to get rid of our Twitter and maybe just have
X.
X. Because I don't use that. I sometimes look at tweets from like the Shea Butter podcast.
Yes.
Uh-huh. And from Meg Linehan. And that's pretty much it.
I was on Twitter more than I have ever been for this World Cup just to lurk look at all the like awesome podcasters on there and their takes. It's good stuff. Okay. On that note, I'm Jillian.
I'm Anna.
I'm Em. That sounded way scared. I'm not scared. I just got caught off guard. I'm Em.
And this has been
the Hat Picks Podcast.
Amazing.
Please